privilege to get up here anytime, and I sure do love trying to get y'all to sing, especially on a Tuesday morning. That's my favorite time to lead singing, when you guys are just rip-roaring and ready to sing on a Tuesday morning for chapel and trying to get you motivated. But I love spending time with you. I hope you understand that. I hope you see that. I try to make that known. Staff, we're flesh, and we have good days and bad days too. But we try to let you know how much we love you and how privileged we are that you're here. And it was mentioned, I think, last week, and I think it's so true, what a difference there is for some reason this semester in our classes. I see y'all locked in. I see you focusing. I see you serious about wanting to serve God. And I think it's showing the Lord's blessings towards us, and your attitude has been superb this semester so far. I know we're just getting started, but keep it up. Keep it up for sure. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to speak. It's a privilege to kick off Spirit Week, and you guys have been great so far. Seniors, boy, I didn't recognize some of you. That's the closest I've ever seen you get to the altar. And I know some of you are student teaching, but it was just amazing to see that. And Brother Lutz was saying there's revival. I don't doubt it one bit. I don't doubt it. He'll get his chance, I'm sure, some other time to get me back. But 2 Chronicles chapter 10, and we're going to look at just a couple verses here. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, starting here in verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make king, to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he be put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. I've heard a lot of preaching from this portion of scripture. You probably have too, and a lot of it usually has to do with counsel. I kind of want to go a little bit of a different direction today with this, and I want to talk to you about a missed opportunity. A missed opportunity. You see, Rehoboam was in a very, very interesting position that day. He was about to take over for his father Solomon. Now, Solomon had built an incredible kingdom. At that time, Israel was where it's at. They were the superpower. They were where everyone came. They wanted to see the temple. They wanted to see the riches. They had cultural influence. They had military might. Israel was the best place to be. And Rehoboam was going to get handed all of the work of his father Solomon and all the work of his grandfather David. And they said, hey, if you just follow after God and you treat us the way God would want you to treat us, Rehoboam, we're going to serve you forever. And you're going to inherit this incredible experience and opportunity to be king over the great nation of Israel. But you know the story, right? He didn't follow those men's advice, and he took the advice of the young men. What happened? He split that kingdom. 10 tribes one way, 2 tribes another way. And Israel never recovered from that. They never recovered to the same might, the same glory, the same power that they had. Because one man missed out on a great opportunity that day. I just want to talk to you. You are here. You're here now. It's over. Going back home, it's not even an option. Shouldn't be an option in your mind. You're here. All right? Dig in. You're here. But there's a lot of opportunities coming your way while you're here, and I don't want you to miss them. I don't want you to miss out on what I would call the college experience and what the Lord has in store for you in your life. Many people have come before us and got that experience and gone out and served God and done great things. But there were some things they learned while they're here. And I want to help you. I don't know where this is going to go today a little bit, but I do want to help you and try to give you some things that you need to look out for Because I don't want you to come here in 4 years wasted. You can come here. We all know. We've seen it before. Maybe you know someone in your dorm room who's going through the motions. They came here, and maybe their parents have made them come here, or their pastors kind of forced them. They knew it was the expected thing. And they're here. Their body is here. But their mind and their spirit and their heart are just a million miles away. And they sit there in every class, and they sit in every chapel service, and they sit in every church service, just like you do. And you know what they're doing? They're missing out on one of the greatest opportunities in their life. I don't want that to be you. I don't want this generation to miss out on some wonderful things, because quite frankly, we need you. Amen. We need you to make it. We need you to come out of this on top side. We need some help in the battle. Right. We want you to make it. So we're going to pray, ask the Lord to help me, and then we'll look at some more verses. So don't close your Bibles just yet, but I want to talk to you about a missed opportunity. Heavenly Father, would you please bless this time together, Lord? You know that I need you. I want your Holy Spirit to really just take over and do what he needs to do. And Father, I just want to help these young people. And God, it really wasn't that long. I was just sitting there in these same chairs and thinking about my life and thinking about what the Lord was going to do with me. And Lord, what a wonderful guide you are. And I pray that I can just help point them in a little bit of a right direction today. Please help me now. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. I'm going to switch over to this here in just a second because I tend to get antsy and move around. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, fairly familiar verses for most of you. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time, what? Because the days are evil. And young people, the days are most certainly evil right now. The state that our country is in, and we laughed at, I'll give you some credit, freshman, that was a pretty great poem, okay? But we laugh at the humor in that. But the writing is on the wall. We see where our country is headed. And yes, it's our fault as Christians. And maybe God will bless us once again and allow us to stem that tide for a little while longer. But the days most certainly are evil. And right now, more than any point in our country's history and in our college's history, we need to be redeeming every single second that God gives us. We need to be using it to win the lost. We need to be using it to build our strength and our favor with the Lord and how we please him. We need to be using our time properly, because why? Any other wasted time is a missed opportunity. I want to go over some things with you today. You know, nobody likes missing out on wonderful things, whether it's that trip. If you think in your mind for a second, maybe there was a trip that you missed out on one day. I remember one time I was having a bad week in school. I grew up in Ohio, in Northeast Ohio, near Cleveland, and praise the Lord, I'm still going to keep riding that Cavaliers championship as long as I can, because I'm looking at the Browns, and that's not going to help me any. But I was having a bad week in school that week, and we had a trip to Cedar Point. Now, Cedar Point, if you've ever been to Cedar Point is where it's at if you like roller coasters, okay? There is, it's called America's Roller Coast. All right, because you know about it. You know about it. If you're from Ohio, Michigan, northern Indiana, we know that that's the place. And we had a field trip coming up, or actually a youth activity coming up. But I was having a bad week in school, and I pulled an attitude. I didn't do it very often. I was mostly very good. I'm sure you believe that. I was very good in school. But I had an attitude that week, and I gave one of my teachers a hard time, and I missed out on that opportunity. Now, this was the year that they opened up the Millennium Force. In 2000, all right? Yeah, exactly. You know that feeling, the missed opportunity. I wanted to scream at the top of that hill just like everybody else. And I had to wait 2 more years before I got a chance to do it. But nobody likes a missed opportunity. We were out traveling on tour this summer. We were out west, and we are up in Flagstaff, Arizona, and we wanted to take the guys to the Grand Canyon, all right? We looked on the map. We said, it's not that far. It's really not that far. The thing you don't realize is like every half inch out west is like 9 hours of driving, okay? It's just forever and ever and ever and ever. And we logged it in, and it was me and the guys, and we were about to leave, and we got a little bit of a late start that day, and we were driving to get to this Grand Canyon, and we passed the exit for the western rim or the southern rim, whatever that is. It said only 2 hours this way. And we're like, hey, guys, do you want to go to this? And they're like, no, we want to go to the big one, you know, on the other side. And I'm like, all right, we're going to keep going. And we kept going. And it's getting darker and darker outside. And the guys are watching me. They're watching my face. They actually have a term for me now. It was called Grand Canyon, Brother Matt, because I was really upset because we were blowing a really awesome opportunity. We didn't know if we were going to have a chance to get back there ever again in my life or whenever. We got there right at dusk, but I didn't really enjoy the experience when we got there because all I kept thinking about was, man, we should have left earlier today, and we should have got there at 3 or 4 hours ago. We could have spent more time here, and we wouldn't have had to try to figure out a way to take pictures that weren't with flash all in them and all these things. And I missed out on a pretty awesome opportunity because I just didn't plan my time well that day. But nobody likes, you know, that hope deferred make it the heart sick, right? We hate that when we have an opportunity. And you know, you have some amazing opportunities available to you. And I want to open up your eyes. I want you to focus just for a minute on why are you here? What brought you here? Yeah, maybe you got a little pressure from your parents, and praise the Lord for that. I'm glad you had parents who are pushing you towards serving God with your life. There's a lot of young people out on your bus route who wish they had parents who would do that. But why are you here? Well, I want to serve God. Okay, well, that doesn't happen by accident. No one wakes up the next morning after graduating from college and says, all right, I think I want to try to serve God now. There's a course, there's a plan that God has set out for your life, and he's watching as you take each step. Are you growing, and are you honoring him the way you ought to be? Some opportunities that are coming your way here in college. Number one, you have an opportunity to strengthen your faith. Probably more than any other thing, you need to learn to rely on God. Yes, you may have a great personality, or you may have some talents, or you may have some things that are available to you. Maybe you are good at saving up money, and maybe you have all these resources at your disposal, but are you relying on God? Because those resources will run out. And one day your strength will fail. And one day you'll find out that there's someone a little bit better at you and what you think you're really good at. And your influence will wane a little bit. But are you still relying on God? I think all of you have figured out, even the freshmen have figured out, that even at college, the hard times are coming. Maybe your car's already broke down so far this semester. Maybe the girl that you met in the registration lines already broke up with you this semester. Or maybe the girl, guys, that you were hoping one day to ask out, maybe you were watching a guy ask her out right in front of you down the hallway. Oh, well, be quicker next time. But there's a lot of things that go wrong. And you're going to have to learn while you're here to rely on God. You know, I think about the children of Israel. When they were sitting right there at Canaan, ready to go in, the opportunity was, it was ready. God had brought them through all those things in the wilderness. They were ready. And they chose to not go in. What was that? That was a 40-year mistake. A mistake that those people wandered through the wilderness saying, if we would just have listened to those other two guys. I mean, look at what God, I mean, do you think they didn't have regret? As they walked through the wilderness, basically until they died. A missed opportunity. See, that school bill that you have to pay, or that car that you have to fix, or that relationship that you're asking and praying and begging God for, those are opportunities for you to build your faith right now. And let me tell you something. Pastor alluded to it about our daughter, and praise the Lord, she's doing great right now, and she's in remission, but for the last 2 years, it's... It's not been easy. But can I tell you that the faith that it takes to go through a family member who has cancer, where do you think I learned that faith? Do you think I just woke up that morning on February the 7th after my daughter was diagnosed and said, all right, today is the day to have faith. I think I'm just going to have it, God. I'm going to call on you and I'm going to do all this preaching. No, I had to learn to build it ahead of time. That morning when I got up and I asked God and I begged God and I cried and I pleaded and I said, God, would you please touch my daughter and heal her and help us? We need this. I can tell you that wasn't the first time I talked to God like that. It wasn't the first time. I wasn't in unfamiliar territory when I cried unto the Lord from a horrible pit. And you need to learn right now that you're going to miss a great opportunity in your life
If you go out to a church and you do them the horrible injustice of not having faith in God. Because when you get to that local church, young man, young lady, and they're asking you to do some things that are tough, and finances may get tough, and you may realize that your time, you thought you were busy here, and you're going to find out that life gets really busy after college too, and you get frustrated and you get upset, you better learn right now that God will come through for you. Because you cannot say, oh, God led me to this place, this is where God wants me to go, and then 2 years later, or 3 years later, or 5 years later, say, oh, this isn't the right, God never led me here. Or 6 months in, when something goes wrong, there's a huge church split, and the pastor comes up to you and says, hey, we're going to have to cut your salary a little bit, because we don't have that income, we don't have that anymore in the budget. You can't look up at God and say, what are you doing to me? You don't get to have it both ways. You need to learn to build your faith and strengthen your faith. Why? Well, then we get to be like Peter. Peter, the only man in history to walk on water. Don't we hate Peter? I mean, come on, Peter. I hope we get that opportunity, right? The river of life that's in heaven, I hope we can just doot right across it. See, like, there you go, Peter. It ain't all that. Oh, come on, man. But his faith gave him a great opportunity. Number two, what opportunities do you have here? You have an opportunity to cultivate a deep relationship with God. Where are you with God this morning? If you were to come down here and kneel, and we've all been there, what does that, and we don't like to use feelings very much, but what does that feel like to you? Do you feel like it's just words into air? Is there a relationship? Is there a place at your side for your Savior? When you woke up this morning, did he know that you cared about him? Did you say, God, boy, thanks for letting us have Spirit Week this today. Thanks for keeping it kind of cool outside this week. A recognition of who God is. That's where the relationship starts. God, I know you're with me today. Does your relationship with him extend beyond those 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever you can do in the morning? Does it extend to him on your drive to work? God, thanks for giving me a job. Thanks for giving me strength and health to be able to work for you. God, I ask you, I mean, you have all this. You say, we're busy. We don't have a lot of time. Yeah, you have more time than you think. Where is your relationship with God this morning? In Psalm 73, verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. You see, what happens is when you cultivate a deep relationship with God, it's very difficult to not declare his works. When God and the Holy Spirit are close in your heart, it comes out in your conversation. It comes out, hey, if I'm talking to someone who's spirit-filled, I know probably within the first 5 minutes, I'm going to hear, let me tell you about something God did for me. Hey, God has been so good for me to me this week. Let me tell you about what's going on in my life and the way God's been helping me. Let me tell you about something that the Lord showed me in his word today. How many times have you spoken about him today? We are 12 hours into this day. When I was out in California, I would teach in our high school department, and I would sit there, and quite frankly, I would get a little discouraged sometimes because I would listen to what they talked about. And it was movies, and it was video games, and it was sports, and I like to talk about sports too, I like it, but every once in a while I'd look at him and say, hey, are we ever going to talk about God in Christian school today? I mean, you're not supposed to be talking anyway, because you're in class, but if you were talking about God, I'd probably feel more lenient about it. What is your conversation? If we were to have someone come and transcribe the days of your conversation, we'd have someone highlight how many times the name of God, name of Jesus, name of salvation, I'm blessed, what he's doing, how many times would we see those highlighted? And if we had them maybe highlighted in a different color, how many times you talked about culture, how many times you talked about entertainment or something that you want, something fleshly, something carnal. And hey, none of us are perfect at this. But what are we focusing on? How can we be training for the ministry but focusing on the world? and not our captain, the one who leads the way. Right now, you ought to be cultivating a deep relationship with God. Number three, you have an opportunity to become grounded in our heritage of separation. You have the opportunity right now to make your decisions and say, you know what? I'm going to pick what I believe, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm getting kind of tired of this blog Christianity. I'll be honest with you. I'm getting a little tired of hearing people who are less willing to read Scripture and less willing to listen to those who maybe have been in the ministry for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years who say, hey, the world is changing. You don't have to. But they say, but I read this thing on Facebook the other day from this one guy, and he had some really good points about it. Who are you following? You are right now an opportunity to spend time with seasoned, faithful Christians who have gone through more than you could possibly ever imagine in this life already. They are serving him in spite of many difficulties, and they have chosen. Look, it would be much easier. Some of them, great, wonderful secular degrees, they could go and make 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. But they said, you know what, serving God is my passion. And serving God in an environment, let's say this phrase, serving God in an environment that pleases him. Why are we not focusing on whether or not we're pleasing the Lord? We want to please our fellow neighbors and friends and peers and co-workers and those around us, and we want to make sure we're liking the right articles on Facebook. We're all worried about that, but I ask you, is God pleased with what you're doing? Is he pleased with where your heart is? Is he pleased with where your mind is? Guys, is he pleased with what your eyes are seeing? Is he pleased with what comes out of your mouth? You know, when you focus on that, what you wear, not going to the movies, the right type of music. And I know I'm pushing all these little button issues. I don't care. I just want to please God. I've been telling people for many years, I did a huge study on this in music a few years ago, and I finally came up to the determination that figuring out what the right type of music is actually not very hard. We make it a very hard issue. Why? Because we want to justify what we want. And right now in this auditorium, you are surrounded in a heritage of separation. Are you picking up on it? We're not here playing a game. This isn't phony. This is our life. This is why we're here. And we want to please God with every aspect of our life. Are you picking up on that? See, Rehoboam had a tremendous opportunity in front of his dad Solomon to gain some wisdom, and what happened? He blew it on the first decision he had to make. Why? He wasn't watching the heritage of his grandfather and his father. He wanted to do his own thing. And he paid the price for it, a very steep price. Right now, you have the opportunity to get grounded in your heritage of separation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. We're trying to teach you some things. We're trying to keep you out of some ditches. We're trying to keep you nudged in the direction that God will bless you. Why do you fight so hard? Why is it always, can I just do, why are you always looking for, it's like we have a whole room full of lawyers looking for loopholes. How can I get out of this? How can I do the minimum I have to do to make God happy? Number four, what's an opportunity that you have? You have an opportunity to learn to deal with disappointment. People are going to disappoint you. Your friends are going to disappoint you. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or maybe your husband or wife down the road, they're going to disappoint you. Or staff, we're going to disappoint you. We're flesh. We want to do the best we can, but we make mistakes too. Your pastor, your home pastor, he's going to disappoint you maybe at some point.
I remember my sophomore year of college, my pastor called me, and Brother Collins, he remembers this. We're on our way to this to my home church, and for every tour member, it's the highlight of your year to get to go to your home church. And 2 weeks before we get there, he calls me and says, "Matt, I just want you to know that I resigned. I'm going to be going into evangelism." It killed me. People disappoint you. But how are you dealing with that disappointment? Are you bitter? Are you angry at God because your trust was put in man? It's better to trust in God than to put confidence in man. We know that, right? And it's easy to say, but we all have been bit by that before. But you're going to have to learn to deal with some disappointment. Right now, on your bus route, you're learning what it means to work on somebody and work on somebody and work on somebody and work on somebody. And you think you're starting to gain some ground. Then what happens? You go there next week and they moved. And they didn't even tell you about it. And you can't find them anymore. Can I tell you that the ministry is a lot about working and giving 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 and giving. And sometimes it sticks and it pans out, but sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes you say, "Hey, that person hasn't been in church in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. What's going on?" And you go to their house and you find out something got them off. And they're upset and they're mad and they're angry. And you have to learn to deal with that disappointment. But you can learn that now. You can learn the proper responses to say, "God, I'm just trying to do what you want me to do. Only you can affect the hearts of people." And you don't have to take it personal. It's not about you. It's not about something that you didn't do good enough. It's about the fact that some people just aren't going to follow after God. And it's okay to give of yourself 100%, but please, please, don't pull back. Don't find that disappointment coming your way and say, "See, that's why I don't like to give of myself to somebody, because it just doesn't always work out the way I want it to." Don't let the hurt stop you from giving. Jesus had more people reject him than probably you ever will in your entire ministry. He knew what rejection was all about. Talk to him about it. He'll help you. I think about those who were disappointed, like Joseph. You think it was disappointing to have all your brothers, all your siblings turn against you and sell you into slavery? That was their best decision. They were going to kill him. They're like, "Well, we'll just sell him into slavery." "Oh, that's a much better option, guys. Thank you very much." Joseph knew about disappointment. Hannah knew about disappointment, didn't she? As she begged the Lord for a child, for a son. But that didn't stop her from serving the Lord and having a heart that was still tender towards him. Think about those who had the wrong response to disappointment, like Cain. Cain had an opportunity, and we all look at it and we say, Cain had an opportunity that day to what? Just go do the right sacrifice and move on with your life. It was wrong. God wasn't happy with it. Okay, that's not the end of the story. Move on. But he got bitter and he got angry and he got jealous and he got resentful, and what happened? He destroyed the rest of his life and all of his generations. Wrong response. Number 5, you have an opportunity to develop a genuine heart for others. You have an opportunity to develop a genuine heart for others. There are many ways to reach people. But why we're so strong on the bus ministry is because it forces you to see the bad. You get to reach the unreachable and love the unlovable. And yes, they're here in Chicago, but they're also in your hometown. And they're also in the town that God will send you just a short time from now. And are you going to be one of those people that says, I'm really going after the middle class. They're the ones who pay all the bills in the church. Okay, that looks really great on a spreadsheet, but are you reaching everybody? When we were in California, it was funny. We're in Napa, California, which is a relatively nice area. And our church was on a residential street. And there was another church, a large church, and that was kind of just down the street from us. And someone came in one day and they said, "You would not believe what just happened. Someone invited me to your church, but I accidentally went to the other church down the road from you." And it was a very large, I believe it's a Presbyterian church down the road from us. And as soon as they stepped in the doors, the greeters in that church said, oh, "I think you're in the wrong place, ma'am. I think you mean to go down to the Hopewell place down the road." You know what that is? That is someone who has not, a church who has not developed a genuine heart for others. And we're training you to be leaders here, and the people will follow you, and they will follow your heart.
And they will see your tenderness or your hardness towards people, and they will fall right in line. Are you loving those people? Are they just riders on a bus? Are they just filling seats? And can I tell you, the leadership, are we talking about our bus captains and our division leaders and those who are in charge? Are you caring for your workers? I made a statement in one of my Bible classes last week. I said, if there's any bus captains here, I don't know who all of you are. I said, but do you know where your workers are from? Do you know what hometown they're from? Do you know who their pastor is? Do you know what their major is in college? Do you know why they're here? Do you know anything about their family and what their home life is? Why? No, are they just a slave, a worker? And if you get in that habit now, that will not translate well into the volunteer church worker down the road. You better learn to develop that heart for them. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Towards them that are without, those are those out there. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Those are two verses telling us, hey, we ought to walk in wisdom to those who are without. God, would you help me today when I'm on the job to learn to treat my coworkers with the respect that they deserve? That way Christ is honored. I tell everyone just about every single class I get a chance that Christians do not have the luxury of having a bad day. The world is watching. We have it so backwards. We act our best in front of family at church. We're family. You know, if one of you is having a bad day, or if I'm having a bad day, we're family. We ought to be able to say, you know what? Hey, we'll try again tomorrow. Today didn't work out so well, did it? Got a bad attitude today. I know you're having a bad day. It's okay. But we put on the show in front of each other, but we go out in the world and we spout off. And we get angry and we have a bad attitude and we complain and we moan and we gripe. And it's backwards, folks. We ought to be shining that light out there. See, the world knows what a real Christian's supposed to be. And they will call you on it. The moment they look at you and say, hey, I thought you went to church. I thought you were one of those Christians. You know what happened? All influence gone completely. You blew it. We don't have that luxury of having a bad day. Develop a genuine heart for others. I think about the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, that priest and that Levi passed up on a wonderful opportunity that day to help somebody. But it's very easy for us to get narrow-minded and focused in what we're doing. We're all busy. We all have a lot to do. And we forget about the fact that the ministry is about who? People. No people, no ministry. We're supposed to be affecting people for Christ. Are you developing a genuine heart for others? Number six, and I'm almost done here. You have an opportunity to destroy patterns of poor character. See, right now you're kind of in a little bit of a bubble. You're a little bit protected by the First Baptist Church of Hammond and by its ministries, and you can make some foolish decisions, and you can have some character flaws, and yes, they'll come out, and you'll get points and things like that, but you don't have a chance to really hurt a ton of people yet. But right now, can I beg you, if you're struggling with something in your life, now is the best time for you to get rid of it. Because I promise you, the moment you walk across that platform and get your diploma, and you go home or you go to your ministry, you will not wake up that morning and go to your brand new office or wherever it is that you're serving and say, all right, now is the time to be holy. Now is the time to be righteous. Now is the time. I'm never going to look at that again. I'm never going to listen to that again. I'm never going to deal with this problem in my character ever again. It all stops today. You're fooling yourself. You are going to drag all of that baggage into that ministry with you. And that is not fair to that pastor in that church. He's going to be counting on you to influence in the right way and have a clear heart and a clear mind before God so you can help him lead. Now is the time to get rid of that stuff. In Luke chapter 9, at the end of the chapter, you can turn there if you want to. It starts at the end of the chapter. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 58, Luke chapter 9. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. If you want to serve God, folks, you can't be looking back at the world at the same time. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't concerned about the fact that someone in their family had died, and it wasn't that Jesus wasn't concerned about the fact that someone just wanted to say goodbye to their family. He wasn't being hard on them. He was trying to explain the point that you can't have it both ways. You cannot say, I'm going to dabble in the things of God over here, and I'm going to dabble in the things of the world, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to balance those two. You cannot serve God and mammon. Those fleshly, earthly things that you're struggling with right now, now's the time to get rid of them. Now's the time to lick them. Get them done and over with and walk into whatever's next in your life saying, I'm so glad I took care of that when I could. Because you're going to hurt your marriage, you're going to hurt your ministry, and you're going to hurt your family with these things. I think about the story of David and Goliath. You know, David, he knocked down Goliath with the stone. And that's, I think, how we are sometimes with our sin. We come to the altar and we confess it and we say, God, I'm going to stop doing it. What do? We knock down that giant. But what did David do? He went that final step. He says, you know what? Let's just make sure it's dead and gone, shall we? And he chopped that big ugly guy's head off. See, the problem is we deal with our sin on a random appearance basis. We never make decisions to finish it off. Meaning, well, I guess I just can't have a cell phone like that anymore. Well, I guess I just can't have a computer. I can't be trusted with one. Oh, I guess I shouldn't. You know, radios come out of cars too. They put them in, they come out too. Believe it or not, the car will still run without a radio. And if you just can't stop yourself from turning it to that music, you know, I'll come out there. I got a hammer in my office right now. I'll take care of it right away for you. Do you want to kill the thing or not? But the problem is we want to come down here and we want to confess to God and we rely on his mercy because it makes us feel good. We're not willing to just slay the giant. You have an opportunity right now to just finish it off and be done with it. And finally, number 7, you have an opportunity to gain instruction and knowledge. Why are you here? Are you here to learn? Are you here to grow? Are you here to gain in that instruction and knowledge? We're excited about your zeal, but you need some knowledge too. There's a right and a wrong way to do some things. And no, we don't have all the answers. And, you know, I'm so grateful that our faculty and our staff, we're humble enough to tell you, hey, I don't have an answer for that. Let me see if I can point you to someone who does. But are you learning? Are you sitting there in that class? And I know some of you, you're so tired. I feel so bad for you. And you're struggling. You're catching some Z's in class every once in a while, but in your mind, are you saying, I got to get this. I got to get this. I hear this all the time. I'm never going to use that in the ministry. How do you know? How do you know that you'll never use that? There are so many things that you get out there in the ministry, and you're like, I never expected to be doing that before. I remember, it might have been one of our tour groups. We had a tour group at our church, and I was out there on a Monday morning, and I was trimming all our trees. I never went to tree trimming class at college. I don't think we have one. But I was the van that they were in, they were passing by us, and I looked at the leader, and I said, do all your guys see this? Yeah, this is the ministry. Get ready. There's a lot of things you're going to be doing that you don't expect. So in that class, when that teacher gives you that little nugget of wisdom, don't blow it off. You got years and years and years and years and years of experience in ministry ahead of you. Look, I'm learning now more than ever. I told my class last week, I understand that principle now. The older you get, the dumber you feel. It's true. And now that I've bought a house and I call people all the time, I say, I got to fix this thing. Can you tell me? I am learning very quickly the value of experience. And it's nice to be able to go to someone who's been there before and tackle that problem and say, can you help me with this? Get the help you need while you're here. Gain that instruction and knowledge. Acts chapter 18. In verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. This is Acts 18 and verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla, these are seasoned Christians under Paul's ministry, had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them what? Much, which he had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He changed that day from a man who only knew of the ministry of John into a man who was ready to preach and teach the gospel of Christ. And he didn't get all, you know, upset. Oh, how dare you teach me? I'm doing well. I got spirit. He said he was fervent in spirit. And you're fervent in spirit today. But will you let an Aquila or Priscilla come to you and just say, hey, let me show you something here. Let me help you with this for a minute. That should be gold to you. That, number one, they love you enough to teach you or warn you, whatever one is taking place at the time. And secondly, you ought to walk away from that experience saying, thank God I have these people in my life. You have the opportunity right in front of you to learn and train and grow and tackle those giant sins that are in your life. Develop that relationship with God and leave here a fully equipped Christian ready to tackle the world. But are you focusing on that? Right now, are you saying, well, this chapel service has just been like all the other chapel services. That's what I'm talking about. You're not catching it. One of my favorite things that happened, and you can see this, was Olive Garden, a little while ago, came up with the idea, you buy a meal and they'll give you one to take with you. And I said, that's a pretty good idea, I think. Two for one, you can't beat that. We're trying to give you some things that you can take with you. Because we're not always going to be here. Your pastor's not always going to be there. Are you gleaning what you need to glean? Are you missing out on that opportunity? You need to make a decision today. Look, we're a few weeks in now. College has started, we're going. Are you focusing on why God brought you here and what you came here to do? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together.